New KFC Zinger Nuggets are here for only $29.90. You knew it was coming, right? Still oh so juicy on the inside. Still crispy golden brown on the outside. But now with a little added touch of your favorite Zinger flavor. Yeah, we're bringing a little heat to SA's best tasting nuggets. So get KFC's new Zinger Nuggets. That's 9 Zinger Nuggets and a dip for only $29.90.
There are far more important things to discuss, but I still want to hear your opinion. I'm going to be chatting to Dr. Alana Rivillo. She's postdoctoral researcher at Stellenbosch University and a committee member and volunteer for Friends of Tekkai Park. Tekkai Park obviously is a very large space of ours within here, within the Western Cape, but not just a large and beautiful space. It actually happens to be home to some of the most biodiverse space in terms of the Cape Flats. Fynbos, sand fynbos species, as well as the peninsular granite fynbos, and 147 or so current species that happen to be in the area. It is obviously important to retain this kind of biodiversity, only 14% of which actually exists still in the world. However, plantation has also become a bit of a bias with respect to pines and the like. We speak to her about the varying voices that we require in this debate, as well as what we should be considering.
Breakfast with Refilwe Mulato
on Cape Talk.
Dr. Rivillo, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Refilwe. Thanks so much for having me. I'm great. And you?
I'm excellent. I mean, this is the Tekkai Cecilia Management Framework is a massive project that obviously has a range of perspectives. And I'm keen to hear yours, but I would love to hear a little bit about the history of this particular debate.
Great. Thanks, Refilwe. Yeah, it's so great that you're giving us a chance to also share our views. There are really a huge amount of different opinions about the future of Tekkai and Cecilia. And yet the main narrative that's really reaching the mainstream media is focusing on the public sort of wanting to keep the trees, you know, or wanting transitional planting. And it's often incorrectly portrayed as a battle between the public and Sand Parks, which is the main management authorities of Table Mountain National Park. And if we just look at last week, for example, you know, there was one lobby group which dominated Cape Talk, all of the radio shows. And the question is why? You know, the one thing we know for certain is that the community is so divided around the future of these areas. Some people wish for the trees to be removed completely because they're really worried about fire and fire burning down their homes and affecting their lives. And some people wish to keep the trees or plant new ones for shaded recreation. Some people want to develop the areas into gardens or herb medicinal gardens and playgrounds. And others want to develop the land for poverty relief. You know, it's a good spot for low-cost housing,
right?
Can really up votes in the area. And others have an agenda of wanting to topple the ANC government, park authorities, and privatize the park. So, you know, even though there's those voices, there's another significant group which has been silenced, which is, you know, we ran a petition in 2016 and got 2,894 votes. And these are people who recognize the biodiversity value of that land and want it conserved. And this message is just not making it into the media. So why is the biodiversity view being so silenced?
So help me understand this a little bit more. The perspective on biodiversity, of course, is now being contested with aesthetics, economics, personal interest, potential developmental interests. How does one balance the importance or the relevance of all these different voices? And is there a way of sharing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think we should be careful of whose voices are heard. You know, we know that money talks. So we should be careful that it's not just simply the group that shouts the loudest or has the most money. And so I think, you know, it's a good question to ask, you know, why can't we compromise? So why can't we use like one part of Tekkai? And I'm going to focus on Tekkai and not Cecilia just for now. You know, can't we have conservation in one part and we can develop the other parts? And my answer to that would be we've already compromised enough. You mentioned in your statistics, which were quite right, that there's only 14% of Cape Flats sand fynbos left. But even more alarmingly, there's only 1% of that that's in good condition. Right. You know, and Tekkai Park is just so special. You know, there's more than 550 plant species that have emerged from under the pine plantations in a tiny area, only 600 hectares, which really actually makes it one of the richest places on earth. Just last year, there was a new sedge species discovered there. There's only 10 plants left in the whole world. And then we've got, you know, Erica turgida, which is extinct in the wild, a tiny little Erica. And this is, Takai is one of the only places where it's been replanted, that it's successfully reestablishing. So the important thing to realize is that Takai is not, it's not a garden. You know, it's one of our last wild areas of sand fynbos left in the entire world. And, you know, when we look at the major battle, which is for shaded recreation, we've already compromised enough. There's already 10 green belts in the southern suburbs alone. You know, it's covering an area of an extent of 18 kilometers. Many of these are covered in trees. We've got the neighborhoods themselves that are shaded, the Arboretum, the Cecilia Forest. There's pockets of Afromontane Forest on the hills. So we know that in South Africa, the idea that trees forming an essential part of our landscape, it's really, I would argue, a legacy of colonialism in our country.
Okay, so wait, hang on. So when we speak about those 10 green belts, are we talking about those that have come up on the back of transitional planting?
No, these are much older. Planting is quite a new idea.
Okay.
And it was only proposed as part of this Takai Cecilia management framework. And we actually don't know if it can be done. The thesis is that so what transitional planting is that it's supposed to be the planting of trees for one cycle, which is 30 years. And after that, they're all going to be cut out and the area is going to be turned over to conservation. And that was what was negotiated as part of this framework. However, there was no ecological expertise that informed that. And we don't actually know whether that transitional planting of 30 years is going to significantly impact the seed banks of the fynbos. So it may be that you damage your fynbos so badly that you're going to need active restoration after that. So it may actually not be viable.
This is very much an endangered conversation we're having. And well, it sounds that way. 14% of the wilds is left and only 1% is in good condition. Why doesn't it receive the protections either from the ministry or, or sand parks in general?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. I think Takai Park, especially, and Cecilia, but, you know, they're such loved areas and people have formed sort of cultural attachments to the plantations, which is fair enough. I grew up in these areas too. I ran as a child through those plantations. I loved them. But, you know, I think that this is a case where it should be more than just our opinions. This is a matter of extinction, like you said. Plants are going to go extinct. There are, and not only that, but we're going to lose significant populations of others, where they only occur in other spaces in the Cape Flats. So the question is, can we really be weighing up something so important as biodiversity extinction against our recreational preferences when, like I've argued, we already have so much shaded recreation on the flats?
Right. Aren't the trees also ecologically costly from a water perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So the initial idea with transitional planting was to use pines, okay? But that's now illegal under NEMBA, our Management Act of 2004. And so now what a lot of the members of the public are asking is, can't we just plant indigenous trees? And I mentioned this colonial mindset. Fynbos doesn't have indigenous trees. I'm sorry to say it, but we don't. We need to learn to love our fynbos for what it is. The only trees in fynbos are things like silver trees, and those only occur up on the slopes, in fact, only on the peninsula. And then we've got things like varbworm, if you'd even call that a tree. So in sand fynbos, there are absolutely no trees. So you cannot talk about indigenous trees. You might talk about trees indigenous to South Africa or trees indigenous to Cape Town. However, you know, these trees are quite slow growing. There's a reason forestry hasn't exploited these. They take years to grow and huge investments of nutrients and water and so on. And they'd constitute quite a big fire risk. So the question is, you know, who's going to pay for this? You know, this isn't part of Sandpark's mandate to plant trees. So, and then also like the fire risk, who's going to pay when a fire goes out of control because we put trees in fynbos and it's increased the danger.
So what next, Dr. Rebelo? What would you like to see happen next?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I think, you know, it's more than just this. South Africa is also a signatory to the Rio Conventions on biological diversity and the global strategy for plant conservation. We've actually promised as a country to slow the pace of plant extinctions and conserve a minimum of 17% of each vegetation type for future generations. You know, and so we really need to conserve everything that's left of sand fynbos. We have an international obligation. So we need to look at our international obligations. We need to look at our national laws. And we need to think also about our future generations, you know. Our future generations have a right to be able to go to Takai and look at some of these species in 20 years' time. Who are we to go and remove them and not allow future generations the right to see these species. And it's more than that. They might even have cures for medical conditions that we don't know about. No one knows. If we lose them from the planet forever, they're gone. You know, extinction is a very serious issue.
No, it is.
So I really think we need to think carefully about this. And, you know, there's so many opinions in this space. You know, we all need to let our voices be heard, but not everybody's going to be happy. You know, so I think it's a very difficult thing for Sandparks to manage, right. Yeah, this process.
Well, this sounds reasonable to me. Thank you very much, Dr. Rebello, for that very emphatic and very detailed perspective. Dr. Alana Rebello is a postdoctoral researcher at Stellenbosch University, a volunteer and committee member of the Friends of Tekai.